Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's bow our heads. Our Lord God, Lord, we thank you this day for your mercies, which are new every morning. Lord, you are the Lord God of this universe. You control all things. All things are in your hands. And Lord, we're glad it's so. And Lord, as we come this morning, we're thankful that you've given us these treasures in earthen vessels to proclaim your holy and precious word. And Lord, if you'd be pleased to meet with us this day, cause your people to hear your word. Lord, not just in our ears, but in our hearts. May you be honored and glorified this day, not only in this place, Lord, but wherever your earthen vessels stand to proclaim your holy word. Lord, we ask that you would be with each congregation and each church as they meet in this hour. And as we cross the time zones, Lord, you'd be with those that all over this land that would meet together to glorify and honor your holy and precious name. Lord, we ask this now in your precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Cody.
Good morning again. Gabe and all the brethren in Kingsport send their greetings. Rachel and I are delighted to be with you all again today. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We're going to read our text together, starting in Luke chapter 23, verse 32. Luke 23:32 says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now we know, familiar passage for many of us, our Lord's crucifixion. Here he hangs on a cross, a thief on his left, a thief on his right. And these two thieves represent all men as they are born into this world. Sinners. We read that they're malefactors. The word means criminals, thieves. And here by Roman law, they're being crucified. So they, very possibly more than just the crime of thievery. Many suppose that they may have been murderers. But what we are here to see is that they're sinners. Thieves, liars, workers of iniquity. That's you and me. Okay? It's the first thing I want us to see. Now, someone might say to that, we live in a religious world. Someone might say, well, I'm not a thief. You've robbed God of His glory. We all have done that. I'm not a liar. You lie to yourself and you lie to God every day. I'm not a worker of iniquity. Everything we do is marred with sin. And it's our own sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and me both. And there's none good, no, not one. Not a single one. Well, but let God be true, and every man a liar. That's what God says. Now, this passage is commonly referred to as the thief on the cross. Well, there are two thieves on the cross. And I talked about the first message. It's too glorious for me to even begin to speak concerning these things. But I'm here to set forth those things in order, which are most surely believed. And what a better passage than to see those things which we surely believe. I want us to see the sovereignty of God in salvation. That's what I want us to see here. Two thieves. One thief was forgiven. One thief was not. One thief was blessed. The other thief was cursed. One thief is saved. Right now, he is saved. The other thief is damned. Right now and forever. And there's a great goal fixed between the two. The title of this message is, Which Thief Am I? We're all thieves. Which thief am I? Which thief are you? And by the end of this message, it's going to be clear which thief we are, which thief we can identify with. I simply want to go through and look at the first thief, the damned thief, and then I want to look at the saved thief, and I pray God would prick our hearts with His truth. I pray that we would know and go home knowing which thief we are. Now first, the first thing I see about the damned thief is this. In verse 39, it says, And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. He railed on him. That means to speak evil of, to revile, cursing him, blaspheming him. He hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated him. Do you speak evil of those you love? Craig, do you go to work and start talking evil of Donna to all your coworkers? I know you don't. Of course, we don't speak evil of those we love. We speak highly of those we love. We speak well of them because we love them. This man, he did not speak highly of Jesus Christ. He railed on him. And this is just amazing to me. We just read about how these soldiers, these rulers, religious rulers, these chief priests, these elders, these scribes, what they did to Jesus Christ. And then we see that this thief, whom they were also crucifying, joined, I guess if you can't beat him, join him. Isn't that what they say? They just joined right in with him to his own shame. And I can identify with him. Because man by nature does the exact same thing. We insult him. You know, just which one of us was not born lying about God? Which one of us did not go about cursing the Lord with all our breath, with defaming him and taking his name in vain and not even thinking anything of it? That's us. He mocked him. If thou be Christ. Oh, he's Christ. We're going to see that. You know, there's no darker picture in our minds than to put ourselves right here. I love how it says, and the people stood beholding. I just thought, if I were there, can you imagine being there beholding what took place? I can't even begin to imagine. But if I'm honest with myself, I know that I would have been right there spitting on him, laughing at him, mocking him, saying, This man's the Christ? Look at him! That's man by nature. Hate God. We hate God by nature. And the best picture of that, the best picture we're going to see about how man truly feels about God is right here. It said, Pilate delivered him to the will of the people. He said, it's the day of the feast, the Passover, we got to release somebody. Pilate said, let's release Barabbas. They said, no. I'm sorry. He said, Pilate said, let's release Jesus. I found no fault in this man. What did they say? They said, give us Barabbas. We want that. It says he was a murderer. We know he was a murderer. And murderers, doesn't take much common sense to tell you they're not good for society. They need to be locked up. It was good that they were crucifying a murderer. And then they, away with him. Crucify him. Give us that murderer. Give us Barabbas. Brethren, that's how man, that's what man thinks about God. We won't have him. I won't have him. Give me Barabbas. That's us. That's the first thing we're to see is that man by nature hates God, hates Christ, just like this damn thief. And second, look at verse 39 again. It says, And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ. He did not believe Jesus to be the Christ of God. Just like those religious people that were crucifying him. Come down from the cross if he be the King of Israel. Let him come down. Then we'll believe him. This thief was the same. Very one and the same. If he be Christ, come down. This thief, he looked at the Lord Jesus and all he saw was himself. just a thief, just a no good criminal being put to death for crimes he committed. Well, Doug just read it. He was bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. He had none of his own. This thief, as far as he was concerned, he was just like him. Thought he was helpless. If you're Christ, save yourself. Come down. They didn't understand. That's the whole reason he came into this world. Mine hour is now come. This is why he came into this world. The only reason. This thief thought that the Lord Jesus had no power to save. That's really what it's saying here when he said, if thou be Christ, save thyself. He has no power to come down from that cross. What did the Lord Jesus say in John chapter 10? I think Dennis just preached from that chapter here a week or two ago. I lay down my life. I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That's exactly right. He laid down his life. It wasn't taken. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down to myself. I lay down my life for the sheep. But that's not what man by nature sees. Man by nature looks at the cross and they say, Jesus died now. Accept him. Make his death effectual. Is that right? Is this the message being declared all over this world? Yes, that is it. But that's not the truth of God. I'm here to declare to you the truth of God as it is in his word. Now, no man by nature believes that Jesus Christ has the power to save. Not without our help. But that is not. That's just not so. That's just not so. You know, people talk about how what they do for Jesus. You do nothing for him. Believe him. You're not going to do something for him. We're commanded to believe him. Believe him. Believe him. And I pray God would help us to and cause us to do so. The third thing we see about this thief is that he felt entitled. Notice he said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. You get it. You're not the Christ, but if you are, if somehow you are, save yourself, of course, but save us. You got to save us. And he wasn't saying it in a I need you to save me way. He was mocking him, saying, this thief thought, if anybody should be saved, you're looking at him. This man right here. After all, I mean, yeah, I'm a thief, but I, you know, surely my good outweighs my bad. Yeah, I've killed a few people, yeah, but I'm still a good person. How foolish. Whether or not we've actually murdered somebody or not, we murder every day in our heart. Every time we're angry, murder in our heart, adultery in our heart, fornication, a lot. That's the heart of man, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. No one can know it but God, who searches the heart. God knows. We can fool each other. You know, we can put on a pretty good show, make a pretense of religion, but we're not going to fool God, not for one second. God searches the heart. He knows all things. This man thought, just like everybody else, God loves everybody. You know, it's amazing to me that there was no fear in this man as he was dying. That you want to talk about the coldness of man's heart. That's it. Here he is being put to death and he just doesn't even seem to care. It's all right with me. God loves me. That preacher told me so. Did you know that I have no authority from this word of God to look at you and say, God loves you? People, kid used to take me out to eat in high school, and every time he'd drop me off at home, he'd say, smile, Jesus loves you. I've never heard anything so blasphemous. I'm here to tell you, if you are in Christ, if God put you in Christ from eternity and sent his Son here to die and redeem you, to save you by his precious blood, then God loves you. Yes. But it's not a general atonement. It's limited. It's not limited in his power, but it's limited in God's purpose. God, the sheep. That's who Christ came to save. The sheep, his people. God owes us nothing. He owes us nothing. God is not obliged to save me. He's not. You know, if I'm going to be saved, it's not because I willed to be saved. Not because I chose him, but because he chose me. That's exactly right. There's just one thing that God owes us. That's justice. That's justice. I'm a sinner. You know what I deserve? You know what justice demands? That I suffer for my sins. That's all that God owes any of us. And mercy is not earned. Mercy is God's free sovereign gift. God owes us justice. This man, he hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't believe he was the Christ. He felt entitled to be saved. Fourthly, he did not fear God. Look at verse 40. It says, "But the other answering him, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God?" I just told you how amazing to hear this man dies. No fear of God. No fear of death. Nothing. Just a cold body. And that's what man is. Just a cold, lifeless body. You know, every message I've ever heard on this passage talk about, you know, the faith of the thief that was saved and how he didn't pray, he didn't read his Bible, he didn't go to church. Okay. If he knew some scripture, which we have no reason to suppose he did, but if he did, I can just see him saying, quoting this verse, Matthew 10, verse 28, looking at the other thief and saying, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Fear him. Fear God. Here he is dying on a cross. No concern for his soul. None at all. No. To imagine that this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And he knew it. He knew it. He was hanging on a cross dying. He knew he was dying. You know, the scary thing with us is we think we're fine. We get up and we think we're A-okay. But the fact is, we're not fine. We're sinners. And God can come at any moment and strike us dead. We need to be concerned with our soul. We need to be concerned with our soul. This thief, like all lost religious people, he had no reason to fear God. God couldn't send him to hell. Not over his free will, right? To choose heaven. Now, hell is what we deserve. And we're going to get it unless God does something for us. When studying for this message, I found this horrible poem online called Invictus by William Ernest Henley. It says, "I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul." You're the captain of your soul? Christ is my captain. He's the captain of my soul. My only hope is that I'm in Him and that He's in me. You know, that's what man thinks about God, that I'm the captain of my soul. I choose Him. I choose my own destiny. God predestinated all things. He's working all things together for good to them that love God, to the called according to His purpose. Everything that happens is in line with God's purpose. God has a purpose, and it's going to come to pass. But here this man dies with no fear, no fear of the Lord. We know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. If we're to have any hope, we must fear the Lord. We must fear it. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I pray that God the Holy Spirit would descend upon us and teach us the fear of the Lord. I really do. Fifthly, this man was doomed for hell. Look at verse 40. "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" This dying thief was condemned. He was under God's condemnation, soon to be judged by God, by Christ, the judge of all the earth. He was about to die physically, but worse than that, he was about to die the second death. There's a second death that all outside of Christ must face, and that death is eternal. Look over with me in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. I'm sorry, John 3, verse 17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, His people, God's elect, through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." This thief, the saved thief, looks at him and says, "Do you not fear God? Look, seeing you're in the same condemnation, He was condemned because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Look at it, verse 19. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now what's that? As Christ hung on that cross, He is the light. I am the light of the world. Christ is that light. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. Christ is the light. Christ came into the world, and we love darkness. We love ourselves rather than Him. And that's evil. That's evil. That's condemnation. We condemn ourselves. Sixthly, this thief, he was guilty as charged. Look at our text again, verse 41. The other thief told him, he said, seeing we're in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. This man was about to meet God in judgment. What a fearful thing if you're in his state. I think of nothing worse than to die not knowing Christ, than to die cursing God with the very breath He gives me. And that's how this man died. Cursing and blaspheming God with his every breath. And he was going to get exactly what he deserved. And so will you and I. Going to get exactly what we deserve. God's eternal wrath. Well, that's not fair. I thought you said something about God's elect. These sheep that shall be saved. This is what's fair. People say that's not fair. God's very fair. The soul that sinneth it shall die. That's fair. That's fair. You and I wind up in hell. That is fair. We receive the due reward of our deeds justly. God was sending him to hell, and it was right. And we know every knee shall bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Very soon, from this moment, this man was going to be crying from the depths of hell. Amen, Lord. I wish you could send Laz just to dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. Can't do that. Amen. Amen. You're right. You're right. This is what I deserve. We'd be better to learn that now than then. Much better to learn it now than when it's too late. Because all who die like this thief will get exactly what they deserve. Exactly what's rightly theirs. There's no bending in the justice of God. Soul that sinneth, it must die. It must. God must punish sin. God will by no means clear the guilty. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Everything that I just said, did I describe anybody here? Anybody? Anybody? That's exactly you and me if left to ourselves. That's exactly man by nature. You and me both. All God has to do for us to march straight into hell is leave us alone. Just leave us alone. And the scary thing is we want to be left alone. We don't want to be told what to do. We don't want to be told bow to God. We want people to bow to us. But we must bow to Him. We must bow to Him. What about the other thief? We know how this ends. Today you'll be with me in paradise. What about this other thief? Let's consider him. Let's consider him. Now the first thing that I want to point out is that this saved thief, hear me, was just like the damned thief. Turn over to Matthew chapter 27. He was just like the other thief. Look at Matthew 27, verse 44. I want you to see this. Matthew 27:44 says, "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." Look over at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 32. "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him, Do you see that? But that doesn't make any sense. We read that he rebuked the other thief. I told you, we are all thieves. We're all thieves, guilty of hating God. We're guilty of the very same thing. You know, these men were being put to death for sinning, committing sins against other people. The law of the land demanded they be crucified. But we're guilty of much worse than that. You know, we may not get in trouble with the law here. We're in trouble with the law of God. Every single one of us deserves God's wrath in full. Both these thieves, no difference in and of themselves. But there was a difference. Praise God, there was a great, great difference in these two thieves. Why was this one thief all of a sudden different? Why? Just moments ago, they were together mocking him. They were right there together cursing him, and if you be Christ. Why is he now not? What happened? Well, he just, you know, the time was going by. He was hanging there, and he just reconsidered everything. He saw the sign, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And he just thought about it, and maybe he is King. And then he made his decision. Nope. He was about to die, needed a hope. So this was his deathbed, get religious moment. You wouldn't. You're not going to, you and I can both be on our deathbed, but we're not going to save ourselves. It's just not going to happen. It's not. You being on your deathbed might make you scared of hell, but being scared of hell does not produce God-saving faith. That's the gift of God. I'll tell you what the difference was. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. And this is God speaking. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now, notice it doesn't say what made you to differ. We can all act a certain way and portray ourselves different than other people. But when it comes to salvation, it's not a what matter, it's a who. I know whom I believed. I'm sure that He's able. That's what it's talking about here. Who made you to differ? You were a thief standing there cursing me just like the other one who's in hell. Who made you to differ? God, in sovereign mercy, made him to differ from the other. We'll explain that. I can't. But all I have to say is, what's the difference? If one of you is sitting there and you believe God and you're rejoicing in the gospel, you're looking to Christ, and the person beside you is not, what's the difference? Who's the difference? Who's the difference? If you have faith, did you produce it on your own? This thief had faith. He had faith in Christ. What do you have that you have not received? Faith. Faith is what you've received from God. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast. It's God's gift. God's gift. Did this thief boast about his faith? Absolutely not. He gloried in Christ. He gloried in his Savior. We know what he cried, Lord, remember me because of my faith. No. He cried, Lord, remember me in spite of me. There's no reason why you should remember me. But that's my only hope. He didn't do that to himself. God saved that thief. That's the difference. God, His sovereign love, mercy, and grace. That's the only difference between you and me. That's the only difference between the blessed and the cursed, the saved and the lost. That's the only difference. God. Now we're going to look at a few things that happened after the Lord had saved this man. He gave him faith. Look back at our text, verse 40. He tells the other thief, he says, "Dost not thou fear God?" He now feared God. Just a few moments ago, he did not fear God, but God put his fear in his heart. For the first time in his life, he feared God. Feared God. Sanctify the Lord God in his heart. And what that means, fearing God, I feel more than anything, fearing God is I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. You're God. You're just. You're holy. You're right. I'm a sinner. Down here. You're God. Whatever you do is right because you're God. Because you're God. And not only did this man fear God, he was being faithful in witnessing to the other thief who was still lost, whom God had left to himself. And if you fear God, if we fear God, we're going to pray for God to make us faithful witnesses of Christ. Over in Acts, I believe it was Peter who said, we're witnessing, testifying the things that we have seen and that we have heard. How do you suppose Bartimaeus, why was he all of a sudden crying out to the Lord, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me? He heard somebody saying, Jesus of Nazareth has come by and he can give you sight. Well, how's it work here? I'm here telling you Jesus Christ saves. He has the power to save you against your will. Because that's what I've experienced. I can only tell you what I've experienced. This man, fearing God, knew himself to be a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Look at verse 41. He said, and we indeed justly. This is just. We receive the due reward of our deeds. This, I'm reaping exactly what I've sowed. This is what we deserve. Hell, God's wrath, crucifixion. Now, obviously, these men were sinners in the eyes of men, crucified because the law of the land said they must be killed. But now this thief knew that not only had he sinned against people, not only had he broken the laws of the land, he was a sinner against God. Against God. Psalm 51 verse 4 says, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. Our sin is against God. We've done this evil in thy sight. We've sinned in God's sight. It doesn't, you know, I'm not going to condone us sinning against each other. God said sin not. But our sin against each other, yeah, it's bad, but we should be concerned with sinning against God more than anything. We've sinned against God. And the wages of sin is death, and that's what we're going to get. If God leaves us to ourselves, if we die trusting in ourselves that we're righteous, despising others, that's exactly what we're going to get, eternal death. This man now knew that God's justice demanded he suffer for his sins. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I must face what's right. I must face death, damnation, forever. Because that's what God's justice demands. Strict, holy justice. Fifth, this man knew Jesus to be the Christ. He knew Jesus to be the Christ. In verse 41, he also said, but this man, you see this man hanging between us, numbered with the transgressors? He's done nothing amiss. This man hath done nothing amiss. Now, how did he know that? I just told you the other thief just supposed he was just like himself. Right? How did he know that this man was the perfect God-man? Because God revealed it to him. When God puts faith in you, when God puts Christ in you, you know that Christ is the sinless, perfect, holy God, man, Son of God, both man and God. And that's only by divine revelation. Just like the Lord told that Samaritan woman, I that speak unto thee am. I am. I am He. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ of God. I love thinking about this. God enabled him to see Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what Paul said we preach. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This man, by the grace of God, turns and looks and, my Savior, dying for my sins. It's only by His grace, His work in my heart that I now fear Him, that I now reverence Him and see Him as the Christ, the Son of God. Just like Simeon beheld the Lord Jesus as a baby, he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This thief, my eyes have seen thy salvation. I'm looking at my salvation. I'm looking at my salvation. He watched his Savior die for his sins. Now, how did he die? How did he die? Look at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, I just thought of this. In Matthew 7, the Lord said, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. They're calling him the same thing that Steve called. We've done many wonderful works in thy name. Okay, notice the difference. Lord, Lord, look what we've done in your name. And look at this. Lord, remember me. Do you see a difference in that? Lord, remember me. And I just told you, he wasn't wanting him to remember him because of all the wonderful works in his name that he'd done. That's laughable. This man was a thief being put to death for his sins against the laws of men. But here he cries, Lord, for mercy. For mercy. Lord, remember me. Have mercy on me. Do something for me. I need you to be dying for me. God revealed him. He was being bruised for my iniquities, wounded for my transgressions, my sins. He's dying the just for the unjust. He's my lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's going to provide himself a lamb, and I'm looking right at him. I'm being put to death right beside him. Isn't this glorious? Oh, it's so glorious. He needed the Lord Jesus to save him. To save him. He wasn't there going to make effectual what he did. He needed him to save him all on his own. He knew he had the power to save by the grace of God. He heard him cry, Father, forgive them. And now, even though he was mocking him then, he's now crying, oh, I hope he's praying for me. Oh, I was just standing here mocking him and laughing at him and spitting at him. I hope he was praying for me. Oh, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we know what happened, don't we? Look at verse 43. Jesus said unto him, he didn't say this to the other thief. He looked to him. There was a thief on his left and a thief on his right. He looked at him and he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You. I told you, I hope that we will see God's sovereignty in salvation. Two thieves, one saved, one not. The Lord Jesus looks and tells that thief, you're going to be with me in paradise today. Does God have the right? Absolutely, He does. He's God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He let there be light. Each day, He created something, and God saw that it was good because He did it. Because He's God. You know, I rejoice to know that the Lord told this thief today, you're going to be with me in paradise today. Today. Did you know this is the only place in the whole Word of God where such assurance is given? You know, it blows my mind that the message being preached most places is, God's done what He can, you do the rest. When the Lord turns to a thief, and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. What a contradiction against what men preach and what God preaches, what God's Word declares. There was never assurance like this. Never. Never. And you know, just a few moments later, perhaps just a couple minutes after this, this thief sees the Lord bow his head, give up the ghost, and cry, it is finished. It is finished. Today you'll be with me in paradise, and it's finished. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Believe on Christ. If God has saved us, given us faith in Him, it's going to be well with us. It shall be well with the righteous. And it's well with this man. In fact, if it's well with anyone's soul, we know it's well with this man's. We know it is. God tells us it is. God told him it is. Now briefly, paradise. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, people talk about streets of gold. Here, we like gold. If you got some, feel free to give me some. But you know, as far as glory, being in heaven, do we desire the streets of gold? Did you know gold is nothing in the sight of God? To us, it would be just wonderful, right? We'd be rich. It'd be great. Gabe pointed this out a few weeks ago. Did you notice it says streets of gold? That means you walk on it. It's nothing to God. Just what you're walking on. I love that. Love that. Paradise is not the streets of gold, the many mansions and all this Wonderful things. Paradise is being with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's paradise. That's paradise. Awaking in His likeness. Being forever conformed to His image. Seeing Him in His beauty, in all His glory. Dwelling in His house forever. I love how a verse says that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. We think this life is so long that we might live for 100 years, maybe. I honestly hope I don't. I'd be miserable by that. But one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. We can't begin to understand what eternity is. But it's glorious for the child of God. Oh, so glorious. Now, in conclusion, 2 thieves, one saved, one damned. One representing the world, which shall perish under the wrath of God, those for whom Christ said, I pray not for the world. And the other representing God's elect, I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they're thine. God's elect, the remnant, according to the election of grace, which shall be saved. We're one of the two. We're one of the thieves. We're either the damned thief or the saved thief. Which thief am I? Which thief are you? I'll tell you how you can know. The message I've been declaring to you, the message of God's free, sovereign salvation in Christ. Is this good news to you? I know I'm not the most gifted at declaring this news, but I hope my message has been clear. Is it good news to you? Perhaps it just... I agree. But it's not really good news to you. You don't need it. It's got to be much more than I agree. Amen. It's got to be, I need this. I need God to do this for me. Or do you despise it? You're either just lukewarm, and or you're cold to it. That's not God. Or, oh God, save me. Which one is it? I believe we can know, brethren. We're either sinners in our own eyes, like this thief, by the grace of God, or we're sinners in God's eyes. Which one is it? Which one is it? I want to show you one more thing here over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This will be very brief. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? This thief just cried, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now look at this. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. You see that? Go on reading. Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa. Nor thieves. I thought you just told us one of those thieves was saved. Didn't Christ even say this thief was saved? Yes, He did. And yes, He is. Well, how can that be? Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Oh, isn't that good? Such were some of you. Can you, by the grace of God, say, oh, Lord God, that's me. I'm a thief, I'm covetous, I'm a drunkard, I'm a reviler, that's me. You're talking about me. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, this man was a thief. He was a sinner. But he was washed. Other thief wasn't washed. This thief was washed in the blood of God's Son, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And by the grace of God, I'm here to tell you, I can identify with this thief. I'm not trusting in myself. By the grace of God, God has caused me to trust in Christ, to look to Him and Him alone for all my salvation. Just like this thief, my cry is, Lord, remember me. You're coming again, Lord. He's coming. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know what He's going to say to me? You know I'm not going to say it today. It may not be today. This is what He's going to say to me. Matthew 25, verse 34. Come, ye blessed of my Father. inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How can he say that to me? I'm a thief. I'm a sinner. Such were some of you. But you're washed. Washed. Sanctified. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage of two thieves, knowing that you sovereignly saved one and passed by the other. And we say, amen, Lord. You're right. Father, we know that if left to ourselves, we are doomed for hell. That's exactly what we deserve. But Lord, we pray that you would come to us, dwell in our hearts, give us a new heart, put your Spirit in us, save us by your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would cause us to cry from the depths of our soul, Lord, remember me. Be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh God, save me. Lord, please do that for each soul here this day. Give us saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and cause us to look to Him for all our salvation. Amen. Thank you.